getting everybody's attention. this is Barbara Lowe's, but you never know it by my voice.
Sound like Darth Vader.
Ordinarily, I can yell with the best of them, but today that isn't really going to be possible. What we're going to do first is to convene the public hearing concerning Chapter 4 of Rule. What we will be doing, if you want to make comments, you can submit them here vocally. If you have anything to turn in writing, you can do that today. And we will discuss any part of the chapter on workplace policies that people want to talk about. And if you have testimony, then we do have a sign-in sheet for you. Is there anyone who wants to ask questions, make comments about Rule? You know, I have submitted some comments. We can, if we are going to after the public hearing, we're going to have the Board of Commissioners meeting, and we can go around the room and have everybody say who's here now, and if it doesn't change substantially, we can forego that later, or we can wait to do that then. I'm not particularly adamant about either way.
Madam Chairman?
Uh-huh.
Do we have a lot of comments that were sent in, written comments, these kinds of things?
I have heard from absolutely no one.
This is Pearl. I did get a couple that I want to tell about. Could we first go around the room and just see who all is here?
Sure.
Okay.
And I suppose I should probably have said, for the sake of formality, that the thing is called Title 192 Nebraska Administrative Code, Chapter 4, Workplace Policies.
Thinking was, I wonder if there weren't that many comments or whatever. Pearl indicated she was going to read the one she had, and your comments. I wonder if those could be read aloud so everybody could know what the comments were. Later on, whenever.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, I'm Barbara Lowe's, and I'm the public hearing officer.
I'm Nancy Altman, and I'm one of the board members of the Commission for the Blind.
I'm Dorothy Weston Yonke, and I'm a board member for the Commission for the Blind, and my furry friend on the floor is Anika, standard size poodle.
Anika?
Anika. A-N-E-E-K-A.
That's
pretty.
Yeah, I like it. She was named before I got her, so I don't know where the name came from. Maybe it's French.
I'm Val Perry, administrative assistant for the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Hubert Paulson, I'll be recording today.
We can come back around this way. Bob Burns, Commissioner.
Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director.
Fritz Yockey, Dorothy's husband.
Howard Simon, granddaughter.
Nancy Floral, Umpqua District Supervisor.
Robert Inland, Vocational Counselor.
I'm
Ryan Ozentoski, NFB Newsline Outreach Coordinator for the state of Nebraska. And I am also the Secretary of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska State Board.
Jamie Forbes from Lincoln.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director for Voc Rehab Services, Lincoln.
Cheryl Livingston, Voc Rehab Tech from Lincoln.
Amy Burrish, Lincoln.
Shane Burrish, Lincoln.
Bob Beaton, Lincoln.
And Cheryl Poff is also here. She had to run upstairs. She's the
Deaf
Blind Project Coordinator.
Okay. Is that everyone?
So Bill won't be coming?
Bill will not be here. Right.
Is he sick?
Recovered.
Okay. Although it isn't a requirement that the Board of Commissioners members be here, ordinarily Bill or Esther would be, not only for the commission board meeting, but also for this meeting. He has had some recent surgery and is recovering, and so we want to certainly wish him our best and send up prayers, and hopefully he will be back with us in February. He assured us he will be. Okay, we'll move on with the public hearing then. And Pearl, you said that you had some comments.
Yes. The Director of Employee Relations and Department of Administrative Services had two technical items. One is in 001.01A. He added some language so it reads, employees in bargaining units represented by the Nebraska Association of Public Employees. We had said employees subject to.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so that was a better way to word that. Excuse me. Pardon me. 001.02, Nebraska Department of Administrative Services Rules and Regulations. Supervisors and other exempt commission employees, we had said, are covered by Nebraska Classified System Personnel Rules. He added a phrase so that it now reads, supervisors and other exempt commission employees, comma, except those whose positions are created as discretionary pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statute 71-8605, comma, are covered by the Nebraska Classified System Rules.
Why, that sounds all...
In other words, the executive director.
I was going to say, what exactly does that mean? I mean, it sounds all formal and everything, but...
Right. It's the discretionary position of executive director that the board is in charge of and is not covered by the rules and regulations. Obviously, I have to follow the rules and regulations, but as far as the status as an employee, that's what's different.
Okay. And but that language is clear enough for everybody who needs to know?
Well, let me read it again.
So rather than say executive director, we're saying that?
I think it's this way in case there would be, you would at your discretion appoint some additional person in the future. Do you want me to read the whole?
I don't think we could legislatively.
Yeah, I don't
do
know.
That.
I don't know.
Okay.
But do you want me to read it?
Sure.
That's clear. Okay. Supervisors and other exempt commission employees, comma, except those whose positions are created as discretionary pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statute 71-8605, comma, are covered by the Nebraska Classified System Personnel Rules and Regulations. Parens, personnel rules, end parens. If there is any discrepancy, the personnel rules prevail for those employees. Employees subject to the personnel rules are covered by these rules except where language therein applies.
Okay, well, I think that the people who need to know would know who that meant and probably leaves us open to do things if we ever lawfully could.
Right.
We need to.
And then the only other one was found by Val Peary when she was going through and doing some fine tuning of the document. And it is, excuse me, under health insurance, it's 009.03B1. We had within the first 30 days of employment, an employee needs to choose a health insurance plan. Well, that's not true. They, in fact, have a choice of whether or not to do that. And so I will read to you the change. Employees who choose to participate in the State of Nebraska Health Insurance Plan must enroll within the first 30 days of employment. Coverage begins the first day of the month following 30 days of employment.
Okay.
So that was a good,
yeah,
good catch on her part.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that, those are the only changes, other than, of course, all the ones that we heard in the last meeting and that were incorporated and were in the documents, you know, the revised draft that went out to everybody and that was posted on the website. So then I could go to the ones that you had, Barbara, unless you want, if you want me to.
Yes, that would be fine.
Okay. Questions and comments and questions concerning Rule Chapter 4, 001.04. Are copies available in both Braille and print there? If so, should that be noted? So let me go to that section. Availability and responsibility. Each employee has the right to examine these rules. A copy is available for examination in the personnel office and posted on the website. And it gives us, it is understood the rules, regs, and internal processes applicable to their work, including these rules, personnel rules. Did I read that right? It is the responsibility of all NCBVI employees to know and understand the rules, regulations, and internal processes applicable to their work, including these rules, personnel rules, and the applicable NAEP-ASCME labor contract. Yes, there will be let's see, with the other three chapters, we went ahead and had one full set made in Braille, and we would keep those, we would have this one done when it's finalized as well, and those would be, a print and a Braille would be available in the personnel office. And of course we can make new ones if a person wants their own to keep.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we should put, I don't know, if we should we put that in there, you know, the, or do you think we need to?
Well, it doesn't say a print copy, but we could change it to print and Braille copies are available for examination, if that would be better wording. We could sure do that.
Yeah, a lot of people still don't expect there to be Braille,
right,
and so they don't ask for it even though they'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I like knowing it's there, and
this,
I like,
Amy,
you know,
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know,
having
it's good to know.
Okay.
Do we have, is that noted in other ways, other places as well? Like
it,
on the website or on, in the other rules?
Usually when we refer to documents being available, we say, or that being required or whatever. We usually have parens that talk about different formats. Okay. A print and Braille copy are available. Let's say both print and Braille
copies are available.
Are,
yeah,
available.
Sounds better. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. 301B, inserting or taking out a comma. 302A, take out a comma. Let me go to that because then she has a question. These are Barbara's comments. I'm helping save her voice.
Yes, that's good. And I appreciate it.
Okay, it's in 003.02A. Communication means keeping people informed, listening actively, being open and accessible, ensuring that we are accurate, timely, and complete in all we say and write. Blind consumers, the people we work with, and the public perceive us as open and honest in our communication, believe that we hear and understand what they say, and consider us as a source of valid and reliable information that is easily accessible. Now, we've taken out, she suggests, take out a comma between public and perceive, and should a phrase like, quote, should be able to, end quote, come before perceive. So let's see if blind consumers, the people we work with, and the public should be able to perceive us as, okay, and then she says, should such phrases be inserted throughout the rest of section three? That makes sense to me. What do you all think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then 401A2, which is under code of conduct and maintaining professional standards. Let me read it first. Commission employees' personal appearances and workplaces will portray professional standards.
Well, we talked about that last time.
And you say
and
public.
It was said that meant public appearances or whatever. Because to me, I got confused about, you know, personal appearance meaning how you specifically look, how each person looks, as opposed to when you're out doing public appearances. And at that time, we talked about that actually was referring to when people make public appearances. But it still feels confusing to me for it to mean that. You know, and later on there's a section about dress, which addresses the other stuff. But this one looks like it would mean that to me, but it wasn't. When we talked about it last time, it wasn't supposed to be meaning that.
Madam Chairman, Dorothy has a question.
Dorothy?
Yes, I was one. Professional dress, isn't that at all times they're at work or public appearances? I mean, speaking to the public or whatever. You know, you expect them to come to work dressed professionally, not in blue jeans and tennis shoes. Unless.
Yeah, the dress specific. Yeah, dress is addressed a little bit later in the section. This is at the beginning, you know, toward the beginning, where it's talking about people keeping their workplace in good shape or whatever. And I believe that when we talked about it last time, that when it talked about appearances, it was talking about going out and representing the commission out in public, or am I confused?
I don't remember exactly what we said, but I do agree with you. It is, it's confusing, and especially since there is a section at 004.03 is employee dress.
Yes.
So, do you have a suggestion for a better? I mean, we could just take out personal appearances and put workplaces will portray professional standards.
Yeah, we could. At that point, then we don't address it. But that would be okay, probably, because in the section that talks about appropriate dress, that would refer to, you know, whatever your job is that you're doing, and
yes,
part of your job would be going out in public or whatever, so it would seem reasonable to me just to strike it.
Any problem with that from anybody? So it would read, "Commissions, employees, workplaces will portray professional standards."
Oh, okay.
That's,
I was confused. I thought you were talking about dress, but you're talking about their, like, the appearance of their office.
Yes.
Top of their desk. Okay.
Yeah, that was what was confusing me too, Dorothy.
Yeah, exactly.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, I think it sounds clear if you do take that out, actually.
Okay, so that's easily done. So we'll also take out the hyphen after employees. No, wait, I'm sorry. We'll leave the hyphen in. We'll say commission employees hyphen workplaces.
Well, it's actually an apostrophe.
Okay.
That was one little thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, good. 4.01b4, which reads, "Commission employees will immediately report to supervisors any information that could impact an individual case, contract, or other commission business." And the comment is, what does the language quote, "report to supervisors any information that could impact business," mean?
Verbal or written or?
I don't know that you were asking format. Were you asking more what type of information would that mean? Is that what you...
Yeah, I don't... It wasn't clear to me.
Well, this is in the section that deals with impartiality. It's... The section heading is, "Commission employees shall uphold the highest level of integrity and impartiality." So that if a counselor knew that a new applicant, for example, was there was some reason that there might be a conflict of interest that would affect their integrity and impartiality, they should say that to, or you know, inform the supervisor. It doesn't address whether it's email or written, or you know, that's sort of beside the point, but they need to inform the supervisor of anything that they know that could impact the case or our business.
How would you want them to do? Would you want it in writing or just verbally is okay, or?
Are you asking me or Barbara?
Yeah, I'm asking you, Pearl.
Oh,
how
I'm
do you
sorry.
Want it?
Okay. Well, I think it, I guess if there's a specific issue, writing is a good idea, and by writing I mean email,
sure.
So that there's documentation, but verbal is, I don't think that part matters. I don't think that's the issue here.
Okay.
Because other things in this whole section talk about reporting to supervisors and so on, so it's sort of a given that you know when you report or inform, you use your standard mode of operation in business, which would generally be either a written or a verbal thing. Barbara, do you, is
okay.
This the point of this? I mean, I'm not sure that it...
Yeah, what you were talking about, I think, answered my question about, you know, if somebody knows something that would, because it didn't say it would negatively impact, you know, I wasn't sure whether it was that kind of thing, whether we were talking about problems or if we were talking about, this is a really great person, we ought to make sure we don't lose track of that person, or, you know, I wasn't sure what it meant.
Actually, that would be impartiality the other direction.
Yeah.
We don't want that either.
Okay.
We don't want for a counselor to be giving favors to or showing partiality to people. We want all people that apply to have equal access to services and empowerment and exploring their options.
So we're not talking about somebody being hired. We're talking about people being served.
Yes, since, I would say so, since it says impact an individual case.
Individual case, yes.
Or other business.
Contract or other business. That was why I was getting confused, because I'm trying to make this relate to the whole employee, you know, workplace thing.
Yes, well, the way that it relates is that we need as a business to assure that we're providing equitable treatment for everyone. And neither putting up barriers for anybody nor showing favors or partiality.
Okay.
That's what it means to me. I don't know.
Okay. All right, I was trying to read employee comparisons or whatever into it for some reason.
Well, you know,
just my whole
actually,
state of mind.
I mean, that could be another example, Barbara, that if I know that somebody is doing something that would impact a case in one way or another, if I know that another employee is doing something either detrimental or the opposite, showing partiality one way or another, then I should report that. So
okay.
Yeah, I think it does apply.
Okay, all right, so it's just open-ended. And that's probably a
yeah.
good thing.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. All right, I thank you for clarifying
well,
it because
sure.
I was...
I guess I was reading something a little bit different. I thought it meant something like if you had a case come in and somehow, you know, they were saying all the things about this and what kind of services that they needed and so forth, and somebody in the commission knew that this person had forgot to write down something like, oh, perhaps this person has, I don't know, diabetes or something else that would impact the case
sure.
one way or the other, and maybe just was overlooked, and in looking through it, that it needed to be added to that because it might impact, you know, the way the person would be served and this
sure.
kind of thing.
I think that's another good example.
Okay.
See, and I was thinking of it in another way. Say, if you had a relative with a different last name or something who applied for services, and you felt you shouldn't be the rehab counselor for that person because it might be perceived as impartiality.
That's another good example. Yeah, all these things I think are equally fit.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're good on that one?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, 401B5, which is 401B5. Commission employees will understand that all work products developed on work time belong to the commission and will not accept any outside financial gain or benefit. Her question is, does, quote, outside financial gain or benefit, end quote, apply to work or products developed at the commission? Maybe you can explain your question. I don't understand your...
Well, okay, so... You know, whatever people do there at the commission, whatever they develop, I'm assuming, like, if somebody comes up with a great way to do something or whatever, is this saying that you're not supposed mm-hmm. to go out and moonlight with it, or what? I don't know exactly
well,
what
I mean,
that means.
You know, years ago, Richard Mettler wrote a book, and the commission itself paid to publish the book.
Uh-huh.
Now, Richard can't go sell those books and sell them himself and get the the profits. Work products, I guess that's the, if Robert Newman decided to market the placement manual he's going to tell you about later today, that would not be appropriate.
Well, I know that a long time ago, you know, somebody had made like those little gauges for syringes or whatever.
Right.
Is that another type of thing like that? You know, if somebody made something like that, then they shouldn't go market it if it was created there.
Well,
could the commission?
See, that's where it gets weird
yeah,
to me. I don't know.
Excuse me.
Well, I think it's a standard thing in business. You work product, you develop something at your work, you can't, the business owns it.
Yeah.
If you want to invent the syringe, you need to do it at home on your own.
And say, have I got a deal for you to the commission, you mean? Because then you'd be a vendor or a whatever, you know.
Which you could be. Oh, I don't know. Oh, if you want to say something, speak up.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if, I guess another thing is right now I'm working on a directory of American Sign Language. This is getting fairly extensive now. It has hundreds of descriptions of tactile, of signs. And I guess that would be an example of something that I could not take off the market since I have used some of my time at work has been used in developing that.
And so evidently Bob Shanklin, when he did his Food for Thought series or whatever, he did that at home or whatever, I'm assuming?
Well, I don't know about
because that
the past. Yeah, I don't honestly know.
Sold,
I know
I think.
Anybody knows. Or Bob?
I think Bob did not develop that on staff time.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I suppose the click rule would be another example, but none of the development or work on being able to get it produced outside or a new source for it was done on work time. That was all separate time, and from the beginning it was done because there was no source for it anymore and at the urging of Dr. Nyman, but it wasn't done on work time at all.
Right, and I know that sometimes people have done the canes.
Right.
I just don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Yeah.
And I don't want to keep the market from being there for things that are good that people mm-hmm. need and want. And,
and also we don't want to, I mean the commission doesn't have the time and resources to be marketing every great idea that people come up with.
Absolutely.
And yet we don't want to stifle that creativity. So that I hadn't thought of all that, but I think you're right to question this one.
Pearl, there's been several cases, you know, one was Ford where the delayed wiper was built on company time, the scientists had built that,
mm-hmm.
and he tried to market it, you know, tried to collect the money because Ford put it in their product. The court said no, it was Ford's
right.
product because it was built on company time.
Right.
So, you know, anything that would be built on company time should belong to the commission.
Mm-hmm.
If they do it at home away from, you know, not being paid by the commission, then it's their project.
Right, yeah. And maybe that's the difference.
Well, if the commission wanted to make the choice not to claim or let the person mm-hmm. market it, then they could. But if there's a rule, it's the commission's.
Mm-hmm. How can we word that so we, I think we have a fairly good consensus about what in our case fits, because we're not in the business of marketing things. But we do want to, you know, maintain
integrity,
mm-hmm. and we certainly don't want staff to be spending work time on a
project
that mm-hmm. or writing a book that they are going to sell to, you know, a big publisher.
Mm-hmm.
But that the example of the that sign language document, that would be most sign language books, all sign language books are visual, they're pictures, of how to do the sign. This is the first one we're aware of where it's a verbal description.
Yes, and it's a wonderful idea.
And it would be a great resource
absolutely,
to get out. You know,
absolutely.
I've encouraged Bob and Cheryl, yeah, go for it, get that out there.
Yeah.
We don't have the funds or the resources to put it out, although I suppose we could think about that, but I'd rather see it out in some academic publisher that publishes those kinds of things and, you know, mm-hmm. can really get it out across the nation where people need it. So, you know, so I don't know. I mean, it certainly is a resource for us, for our folks, but it's a valuable thing that ought to go further. So I don't know. I don't know the right thing on this.
I don't either.
Is there any way we can make it discretionary so that, you know, it would be up to the commission itself or maybe the commission board or the executive director that would, you know, because mm-hmm. I can see where it could fall kind of, like you said, between the cracks, you
right.
know. That, you know, it isn't, it on the surface it looks like a black and white situation, but in some cases it wouldn't be because I'm with Barb. I wouldn't want it not to be done simply because part of the time was being developed at the commission and part of the time at home, and because it would be something that would be very useful.
And I don't know if the commission legally release something or something like that. Bob?
Well, it just occurred to me that some of this might be actually addressed by state law.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, Bob. I think we need to reference the state regulation, which I'm sure is there that
yeah.
rules this. And I would suggest that you let me go back and check on that and then come up with some wording that will help to protect what the commission has or that needs ownership of and help to enable people to come up with creative ideas. You know, so would that be
yes, that
acceptable?
Would be, that would be great.
Okay. And I would suggest that we do it in such a way that you would agree to, that I'll be able to communicate to you what the wording would be. And if you're, if you all, you know, agree, if the rule is approved later today, that it would be, you know, with consideration that would be added in. I don't know technically what exactly we need to do so that we don't have to have another hearing for the sake of that exact wording.
Right.
But if probably just so this section, make sure this section is consistent with the law.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I would send you all that section. So does that work?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Let's see, number five, we need some commas. I won't read the sections where it's...
That's, yeah.
And we have a question, so I will read the section. she wants to know, why is the phrase regardless of title in here? Okay, it's under Equal Employment Opportunity and Affirmative Action Statement.
Oh, that's what AA is, Affirmative Action.
Yeah. Each employee, regardless of title, is expected to make a good faith effort to carry out this. The question, regardless of title, well, to me, that means it doesn't matter who you are in the workplace, whether you're the janitor or the director. So, are you, Barbara, are you saying it should just say each employee is expected and?
Well, it seems like it
yeah.
to me.
Every employee.
Yeah, every employee is required to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just.
We could take it out.
But just sometimes employee managers and different titles are referenced differently, and that's probably mm-hmm. why it just says regardless of title.
Mm-hmm.
It's because different places, there's different designations of people. They're not just always called employees. Sometimes they're called managers.
This is Carlos. I saw sometimes saying that like the director won't be considered an employee because he's a director.
Oh. I think that's a very good point. I think that is.
That probably is it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just don't think of stuff like that. That's, you know, that's why I ask these questions, because I don't know.
Okay, so we'll leave that as is. And does the statement begin with disparaging remarks? If so, perhaps there should be a colon. Let me see. Does the statement begin? I don't see disparaging remarks. I'm not sure. 005. Was there a disparaging remarks in there, Barbara? Maybe I'm on the wrong.
I think so. Maybe I wrote down the wrong thing.
Where is a with? No, I can't find a disparaging word.
Let me see if I can find that. Excuse me.
I don't find that in this section. I could make a note to find that and see what the question is. Actually, her point was just if the statement begins with disparaging remarks, perhaps there should be a colon. So why don't you leave it that that's when I'll double check, and if there is one where we need a colon, we'll stick a colon in. Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay, because it wasn't content, it was.
That's right.
Okay, 504B, should state be capitalized? We should be consistent throughout. Do we, are there other places where we do or don't capitalize?
It's real inconsistent as far as, you know, state and federal and a lot of those kinds of words. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're capitalized, sometimes they're not. You know, it's just not a big deal, but it looks sloppy.
Yes, thank you. We need to make it consistent throughout the document. Okay, and then she asks, what does AA of AAEEOO?
Affirmative action. I'm sorry, alphabet soup is driving me nuts.
Normally, I almost always, the first time I ever use a term that later is going to be referred to by initials, I always put parens in the thing. So back in the part I read before about affirmative action, it was the heading, equal opportunity, equal employment opportunity and affirmative action statement. We need at some point to put, okay, as I read on through, okay, the first place that then it occurs is in 504B. So I think at that point we just need to add the parens and spell it all out. Okay. So I do always try to do that. 508, oneself to oneself. Major life activities include things such as caring for oneself. Yeah, that should be one word, oneself. 602, is agency director the executive director, which it would be. And in our definitions,
yeah,
we have executive director. I believe. Actually, in these definitions, we use the term director, shall mean executive director of the commission. So we should change that to director. 6.02, agency, so we'll delete agency. Okay?
Yeah.
Next, 7, throughout this section, when it says according to statute, should a specific number be cited? Let me look, this is use of state property.
I know last time they came back to us about that kind of thing, and I don't know, there probably is one. And
well, and it may be at different places of the state rules and regulations that are...
Will they make us find them?
I would suggest that's something we can leave to the Attorney General if they tell us you need to put that in. It would not require, that would not be a substantive change.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to have another hearing or anything.
Right, so that should be okay. 709B, should personnel officer be personnel? No doubt it should implement that. 09B, yes, supervisor or personnel officer. Thank you for catching that. We will fix that. 709C, each employee sign an affidavit that they have, should be, signs an affidavit. Let me read. The commission periodically reviews the license status and driving record of employees, assigned an ID card,